All right, before we continue with the podcast, I'm going to make a disclaimer. Someone sends me another email saying, "I know who you are." Oh, wonderful. That's great to hear. Unfortunately, you're not the only one, and no one cares. I've been outed twice before by two different parties a long time ago. And the bottom line is, really, no one cares. I mean, I'm not that vain to think that, you know, people obsess over my identity that much. I realize that the website offends people, but that's life in the real world. I had to change the comments on the blog to moderated because I was getting so many death threats at one point. You know, people were threatening to rape my daughter and all kinds of absurd things. And when they crossed that line, it enraged me. I thought to myself, how dare they? It's just, you know, that's, you know, crossing that line and making those kind of threats, that's something you don't do. And whoever makes those kinds of threats and crosses those kind of lines, that's deranged. People ask me and they say, well, aren't you afraid that they're going to harm your family? Well, of course I am. You know, it's one thing to run into a haze of bullets and risk your life, and it's another thing to risk your family's life or your loved one's life or people that you care about. You know, threatening someone's grandmother or their mother or their sister or their daughter, that crosses the line. Back in the day, that wasn't acceptable, and it just shows how far gone these people have become. And as we've seen in historically, pride cometh before the fall. You know, these guys get big, they get powerful, they get proud, prideful, and then they get wiped off the face of the earth. And we've seen it happen over and over again. History repeats itself. So again, am I concerned that they would harm my family? Yes, I am. You know, not only am I concerned about the welfare of my family, but I'm very concerned of what I would do. You know, what would I do? You know, that thought terrifies me, to be perfectly honest. You know, when someone has nothing left to lose, they can be very dangerous. And we live in a very cause and effect world. And the thought of them doing something to my family does scare me. It terrifies me. It terrifies me of what I don't know what I would do. I would hope that I could endure and proceed with law and order and due process. You know, I can only hope. So anyways, on a lighter note, let's just take a look at the obvious. You know, we take a step back and take a deep breath and let the emotions subside. Looking at Kelowna, the Kelowna Summer Jam, you know, Dane Phillips didn't deserve to die. Brittany Ehring didn't deserve to die. Jeff Messner didn't deserve to die. If you're going to put a cap in my ass because I said that I don't think those three people deserve to die, then you're going to need a lot of bullets because there's a lot of people that agree with me. And it's tragic, you know, when you use lies to rationalize murder. You know, eventually people are going to find out that you lied. And the reason you said you murdered them wasn't. Well, obviously, you know, in Dane Phillips' case, there's no lie and that can hide that. That one's pretty obvious. You know, it was just outrageous and unacceptable. And I think in prison, the people agree. You know, Robert Thomas got knocked out and Bobby Cox got his nose broken. I think that shows that the organization has pulled back from those individuals because their conduct was outrageously unacceptable. Now, on a more solemn note, you know, when I think about the Hells Angels' involvement with the Picton Farm, you know, we've talked about that before. You know, the Piggy Palace, they were there. They ran the booze can. You know, they had a grow up on site. Dave Picton was a Hells Angels associate. He was previously convicted of a sexual assault on that same farm. He knew where the bodies were buried. You know, it's pretty obvious that Robert Picton didn't act alone. And it's pretty obvious that the Hells Angels had a huge involvement with the Picton Farm. And that is very concerning. I've talked about that before. But my heart goes out. You know, East Vancouver has become a cesspool. you know, and we don't have to go to a third world country to see, you know, poverty and violence. And, you know, compassion for those countries is a good thing. And we need that same kind of compassion when we see it in our own neighborhoods. We can't just turn the blind eye to it. I remember in the 80s seeing a transient, before crack got big, I think it was back in the day of aftershave, a transient. He was holding on to a lamppost to stand up and just looking off into space. And I just thought, you know, there's got to be something we can do to help these people. You know, and I don't think giving an alcoholic alcohol is the answer. You know, anyways, that's another topic. But my concern is the drug-addicted prostitutes in East Vancouver that are getting mistreated, that concerns me. My heart goes out to them and to all the violence. When I was, years ago, I used to be a youth leader, and we used to teach the youth martial arts, and we used to take them to East Vancouver to help out at Harbor Light Food Line, and we would collect food and clothing and jackets and gloves, and we'd just walk out Pigeon Corner, not Pigeon Corner, just up from Pigeon Corner. We'd meet at Pigeon Corner and then head up Blood Alley, and we took these youth with us, and they'd be in the back alleys, and we kind of broke off into groups, and we came back together afterwards, and some of these young kids were talking about their experiences, and all of them said the biggest shock they had was these homeless people in the streets and these alleys of East Vancouver. They saw these young teenagers walk up to them, and the transients were terrified. They're, "No, don't hurt me, don't hurt me, don't hurt me." And these kids, these suburban kids, were surprised that these East Van transients in the alley that they walked up to were afraid that they were going to beat them up. And they said, "No, man, here's some gloves, or here's some food, or here's a jacket." And it was a good experience for them to see the joy, what was first fear turned to joy, in a homeless person receiving, you know, something good from a teenager whom they would normally get beat up by. And I think the reaction of the homeless people to the teenagers that we brought with us, that kind of shows, you know, East Van always say, "Yeah, we take care of ourselves. This is East Van rules, yeah." East Van doesn't take care of itself. If the homeless people are afraid of getting beat up, then what does that tell you? It tells you that East Vancouver beat up the homeless people. That's what it tells you. You know, the police, Vancouver police, a while ago, they did that Project Old Timer, where they got a movie makeup set, and they had an undercover police officer dressed up as a senior citizen, and they had the video camera on them. And these thugs, these drug-dealing thugs would beat and rob the senior citizens, the disabled. And that shows that East Van doesn't always take care of itself. And the people in East Van need a little help from those deranged thugs and punks who are empowered by the drug trade. So, if you're going to put a cap in my ass because that concerns me, then like I said, you're going to need a lot of bullets, because there's a lot of people that concerns that. I've got the Kelowna Summer Jam podcast that came out already. We got one more coming up really quick, the Operation Fast and Furious. A blog reader sent in and talked about the, you know, act, you know, think globally and act locally. Stopping crack dealers on the street, selling crack in public, that's a number one priority. But also thinking about the depths of the political corruption that's putting that drugs on the street, and how that's being laundered through Wall Street. That is a relevant concern that we need to look at. So we do need to think globally and act locally. That's a true statement. And yeah, people know who I am. I don't care. Not a lot of people really care. I'm not really that significant. I'm just another person. You know, somebody shoots me, and then I'm sure the, you know, cash heed will cash in on that idea, and hopefully maybe get some resurrect his political party, hopefully, from the toilet, and they'll get the police to put Bar Watch online. You know, so that all the gang members will be seen for the public, because whether or not I do it, somebody's going to do it. That's going to happen. And this can't go on forever. You know, it's just a cause and effect. You look at history. These guys get bold, they get proud, they get arrogant, and then they get wiped off the face of the earth. And yeah, there's casualties. Reporters get shot. Bloggers get shot. Could be me. Could be somebody else. Doesn't matter. That doesn't change the history, the pride cycle. You know, these guys aren't going to last forever. So, you know who I am. You know who my former affiliates were, my associates were before I fell and went rogue. And you know perfectly well what I am capable of. So, give me liberty or give me death. In the words of Tom Morello, lead guitarist from Rage Against the Machine. In the name of peace, in the name of justice, in the name of righting wrongs, we will be heard. Word.